for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com
or LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Monday afternoon, December the 27th, 2010. Bo Fisher is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Who's in Charge, You or the Devil?
Well, listen, we're going to get in the scriptures here today. Father, we bless you, and we thank you for the spirit that you've had here. We thank you for the good group of people that you've assembled here and hungry, open hearts. We pray that you would speak to us through the scriptures today, in Jesus' name. Now, before we do that, I would like to point out a few books that are available on the table here that I'm either going to refer to or will somehow have some influence in the teaching today. One of them is this Deliverance from Evil Spirits. I don't know if you've seen that. They've got it over there for $2. It's a book that was written by Chris Simpson, who was my mentor and the founding pastor of the church that I now pastor after he went to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. He was a board member of the church here. This little book, when I first walked through the door of his church, I had a terrible addiction to pornography. And I picked this little book up and read it, and it gave me hope for the first time in many years. And so I would encourage you, this is a great book either for you or maybe for someone you know. This is like a little trap for deliverance. If there's someone that you want to introduce to deliverance, this is a real condensed, power-packed little book. Our ministry continues to publish it, but it's available over there. Okay? Well, we're going to take a look in the scriptures. Turn in the Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn to it and even take notes. That's how we learn to be able to go to scriptures when we need them. Helps us to remember them when we read them that way, and also to teach others, right? One of the things we're going to look at today, this is kind of a discipleship teaching as well. There's another little booklet that's published. Again, Chris Simpson wrote it. It's called Keeping Demons Out Once They're Cast Out. Is that important? Keeping Demons Out Once They're Cast Out. And that has to do with basic disciplines like forgiving, right? Tom Stone taught on that earlier upstairs. Maintaining a disciplined prayer life, spending time with the Lord every day, and eliminating mind junk, like Gene talked about earlier today, just the noise that comes through the media and through our busy lives, getting still before the Lord, building a fasting regimen in your life, fasting regularly, opening your life to more regularly than I do. Opening your life to accountable relationships, you know, being involved in a local church, having accountability over you in the Lord, authority over you in the Lord, being accountable, ministering to other people at every opportunity, giving away what you have. I may be sharing about that later. Raise your hand if this is your first Bible camp to come to. First time to come to Lake Hamilton. Good, mine too. So, as we learned earlier, this is my 17th time to come on the property here at the Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, but my first time to come to a regular camp meeting. Usually I share at the Deliverance Ministers Conference, and in those cases, the idea has been to share teaching to pastors and other deliverance ministers so that they can then go and take that back and teach and train their congregation. So it tends to be, it's kind of deliverance, but it's also kind of discipleship and things in the Word and stuff like that. So I kind of came prepared for that. And then last night, Patty told me while I'm driving on the way up here, you know, about 8:30 last night, she said, yeah, and you're teaching tomorrow, you need to teach on deliverance. So I said, okay, so what you get today may, hopefully it will be as good as it should be. But it was prepared kind of quickly. But, listen, you can come and hear these discipleship topics at the next Deliverance Ministers Conference if you go from here, from this camp meeting, and go and minister to people. That will make you a deliverance minister, right? That one is by invitation only. But, right, Linda, if the people here, if they will go and minister to people, I don't know, why don't you just go minister to 10, 15, 20 people over the next year, and the next August or something, you call up here at the camp, say, I don't know, I've cast demons out of about 15 or 20 people since the last camp meeting I was at. Doesn't that make me a deliverance minister? Can I come to the deliverance ministers' conference? Amen, right? Okay. So you can hear the other kinds of teachings that I may not get to today. Well, praise God. But the one that I didn't get to was fall in love with the Word. Fall in love with the Word of God. And that was my point in encouraging you to go through in the Scriptures, read the Scriptures, learn the Scriptures, write down the Scriptures, go back over your notes, whatever you need to do to get that Word deep down inside of you so that it comes up in time of temptation. Jesus did that. He studied the Word so it came right out when the devil came to him and tempted. You notice that, right? That when the devil came to him with temptations, that he answered with the Scripture, in a couple of cases at least. And so that you can minister to other people. You can impart basic truths to people, but how much more effective is it if then you can turn to them in the Scriptures and show them, hey, yeah, and this is what the Bible says about this. Or quote it if you can't find it. That's why I got this thing up here, because I'm not real good at finding stuff. I like to use a concordance, but I don't have a concordance, so I got this Bible program that I downloaded about 3 days ago. So hopefully I won't have to use it, because that means that that means that we're relying on things that I hope I don't have to rely on. Maybe I can just quote the Bible verses. But if I get to one and I can't remember it, and I really feel like we need to look it up, then we'll look it up. But fall in love with the Word. That's one way to keep your deliverance. 2 Corinthians 10, let's look at verse 4. The Apostle Paul is writing, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh," or King James says, "are not carnal, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." We're just going to take this verse apart a little bit here. It says here that these weapons that we have are powerful. They're powerful weapons. It says they have divine power. And that the purpose of this divine power is to destroy strongholds. So does anybody's version say anything other than destroy? Pulling down, overthrow, maybe demolish? Okay, strongholds, and there are three things lumped together here: strongholds, arguments, and lofty opinions. All three of those are somehow related, and they are destroyed by these powerful weapons that we have. And these strongholds, arguments, and opinions are strongholds, arguments, and lofty opinions that are all against the knowledge of God. They are somehow against the knowledge of God, against really the kingdom of God being manifest in our lives, being lived out in our lives. This speaks of two kingdoms in conflict. Here we have the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, or the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of lies, really. They're in conflict here. We have on one side the knowledge of God, and then we have on the other side these strongholds, arguments, and lofty opinions that are meant to somehow keep this knowledge of God from being recognized, apprehended, acted upon, lived out. You get what I'm saying? There was a time when you did not have the knowledge of God in your life, right? And your growth in Christ, in part at least, has been a growth in the knowledge of God, right? Because when the lights came on in your life, when you became born again, the light that seemed so incredibly bright that came on that day, or at that time in your life, really was a tiny little match, huh? Compared to the light that's in your life right now, it's been a glowing light. God doesn't turn the 800-watt halogen spotlights on us. Oh, it just seems that way to us when we get born again. But our walk with Christ is a growing and an increasing in the knowledge of God. And also, God wants to bring the knowledge of God to a lost world through us. And it's these strongholds, arguments, and lofty opinions that are meant to keep the knowledge of God from coming through us to other people that need it. You've already got it now, right? If you're born again, if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, You're born again. You're already in the kingdom of God. You're already headed towards heaven. You have a walk with Christ. You have a sanctification and things of that nature. But part of your primary purpose in life right now is to bring the knowledge of God to other people, to people that are not born again, to people that are not on their way to heaven, to people that are on their way to hell. And so these strongholds, arguments, and lofty opinions against the knowledge of God must be destroyed by the powerful weapons that we have. Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer, taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," right? That speaks of those two kingdoms in conflict, God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. The kingdom of God is this: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Right? Isn't that in the book of Romans somewhere? I'm not going to look it up. See, I can tell you it's in the book of Romans, but I don't know where. But somewhere in the book of Romans it says, the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Wherever those things are being challenged, wherever those things in your life, there's a struggle to bring those things forth. Wherever those things are not being manifested, that's where these strongholds, arguments, and lofty opinions are. They are there to keep righteousness out of your life. They're there from the devil to keep righteousness from being manifested in your life, from keeping peace from being manifested in your life, and from keeping joy from being manifested in your life. Because that is one way that you bring the knowledge of God to other people, is through your righteousness, your walk, your holy walk with the Lord, your peace that you bring to a situation that other people may not have, that they might find attractive, and your joy in the Holy Spirit that you have because you know where you're going. And because you have a perspective that they don't have about events in the world, about family events and situations that occur. You have a perspective that you bring to the table, an eternal perspective, a big picture perspective that someone that is not born again can't have, or someone that is not really relying and trusting on God can't have. They're caught up totally in how it affects them. How does this affect me? I am freaked out because of the way that this affects me. But you, as a born-again person, at least have the opportunity to say, well, I'm tempted to get freaked out, but I've got something bigger to rely on. I've got resources that I can rely on. There's a family situation in my family right now where one individual is critical of another individual and comparing that other individual to me. And the opportunity has not arisen, but I want to say, and I want to use it as a witnessing tool, in fact, is to say, yes, but this person does not have the resources to draw upon that I have. Part of the reason why you're affirming my behavior in this situation is because of the vastly greater resources that I have to draw upon in this family situation than this other person does, who's not born again, who doesn't have God to trust in. Does that make sense? Okay, well, let's go on. You are an extension of Christ's mission. What was Christ's mission that we read in 1 John? Does anyone remember? For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. There we go. To destroy the works of the devil. To undo the works of the devil, some versions read. Or to cut through the works of the devil. That is the mission. Jesus Christ came to the earth to do that. Guess what? You've got the same ministry. You've got the same mission. Christ's mission, he had one thing to do that you could not do, that no one else could do. As the sinless Lamb of God, he needed to bear the sins of the world. Other than that, no difference. Your ministry is the same. To heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, preach the good news of God's soon coming kingdom, and the mighty power of God's kingdom over the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Okay, looking here at 2 Corinthians 10. Again, let's look at verse 6. Being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Whose disobedience? The demon's disobedience. To punish the demon's disobedience in insisting upon and working through their strongholds, arguments, and lofty opinions. We are here, it says here, to punish the disobedience of the demons. The major way that you punish the demons is to cast them out. throw them down, cast them out, get them behind you, whatever it is, but undo the strongholds, the arguments, and the lofty opinions. Get rid of them. Take the trash out. I'm going to make a statement here about you. I want you to internalize this. Listen carefully. You are God's son, you are the devil's master, and you are man's servant. Doesn't that just wonderfully encapsulate your role? When you wake up in the morning, if you could just think that, think on that, meditate on that for a minute, what a difference that might make in your day. You are God's son or daughter, you are the devil's master, and you are man's servant. You're here on earth to enforce the will of heaven. Isn't that what your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven really means? And the way that you enforce the will of heaven is to relieve oppression and torment by evicting demons out of the people that they torment. To drive out the demons, to cast them out, to set people free, to set the captives free. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 149. Psalm 149, starting in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in His Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing, making melody to Him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples. To bind, doesn't that sound kind of like what we just read there in 2 Corinthians 10 about to punish every disobedience? Here it says, to execute vengeance and punishments. To bind and the nations and the peoples to Israel, to ancient Israel, that would have meant to heathen nations. To us today, that means on demonic spirits or demon powers, metaphorically speaking. Or spiritually speaking, the type and a shadow, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is honor for all His godly ones. Praise the Lord. Do you see here that we have authority? We are the devil's master. I said one of the things I said was that we are the devil's master. You see that here in this type of imagery, to execute vengeance and punishments, to bind their kings with chains, to bind their nobles with fetters or manacles, handcuffs of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. We are the executors of God's wrath and judgment and justice on the demons by evicting them from their place in other people. Which serves twofold. Number one is it undoes the works of the devil and gets rid of the devils. And number two, it sets the people free from torment and oppression, which is the third thing I said, man's servant. You're God's son, you're the devil's master, you're man's servant. Okay, let's look at another place, Psalm 105. Keep this imagery in mind. In 2 Corinthians 10, we saw that we are there to revenge or punish every disobedience. I think King James, what is... Well, you're not there right now, but it says revenge or avenge every disobedience. Here we just saw to bind and to execute judgment and justice. Okay, now let's look at Psalm 105 and see what we find there. This is talking about Joseph while he's in Egypt prior to the children of Israel coming down there. You got me preaching a long time, huh? We'll read the whole psalm. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. There's a little affirmation for Gene's sermon from earlier in the day. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Abraham, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the word that He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that He made with Abraham, His sworn promise to Isaac, which He confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as your portion forever, when there were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Okay, this is where we're going to pick it up, where it especially relates to the teaching today. His feet, okay, weren't you, before you were in Christ, sold as a slave? Right? The Bible says you were sold under sin. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. That speaks of being demonized, right? Being under oppression, a yoke of oppression, torments or infestation of demons of various kind. Your feet were hurt with fetters. Your neck was put in a collar of iron. Until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. But then the king sent and released him. The ruler of the peoples set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions. Joseph is a type of Christ. He went before, right? He was about the same age. When he came into his ministry as the prince of Egypt, he was the same age as Jesus, the Son of God, when he came into his ministry, approximately 30 years old. Okay? He was sold by his brothers, right? Was he rejected by his brothers? And what his brothers meant for evil, just like the Jews meant for evil in executing Christ, the Lord meant for good. Because Joseph was raised up to a place of position to save much people alive, just like Jesus Christ was raised up to save much people alive. So Joseph is a type of Christ. And you carry on Christ's ministry. He is the firstborn among many brethren. But you sitting here in this room, whether you feel like it or not, are just like him. A born again, you're born again to be like him. You are a new creature, raised up in Christ Jesus. And you continue the same ministry of undoing the works of the devil. And this is part of that ministry. Let's go on. Verse 22. To bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. And that's the part I wanted to focus on. To bind his princes at his pleasure. The Bible says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Jesus himself is the one that said that. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. You are the policeman of the kingdom of God. You have a badge, a gun, and an assignment to walk a beat, so to speak, and to make sure that in your sphere of influence, the kingdom of heaven reigns, and the kingdom of darkness is beaten back and overthrown. You have jurisdiction and power, and your badge is your jurisdiction. Your gun is the power that he gives you through the Holy Spirit, and your assignment that you have is the Great Commission to go out and proclaim the good news and to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. God is your Father. That means that you are his son or his daughter. Christ is your brother, as I just mentioned, the firstborn. Doesn't it say that it pleased God to make him like you in every way, except without sin? Do those verses sound familiar to you? That it pleased God to make Christ like you in every way. That means that he was fully human in every way except without sin. Well, it has also pleased God to make you in every way like him, except without divinity. But you have the same ministry that he had to undo the works of the devil. Pre-Calvary, he was made like you, except without sin. Post-Calvary, you are made like him, except without the ministry of redemption. Without the bearing the sin, which only he could do. That means that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and you all have a common enemy, and that is the devil. and you're all working together. We are all working together to undo the works of the devil. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and everyone in this room that wants to accept the responsibility and participate are here on earth to undo the works of the devil. So when you attack a demon, don't use a fly swatter. Don't use a feather duster. Don't imagine that it might go, and you tell it once or twice, and then if it doesn't, just pull the covers over your head, and maybe it'll go away after a while, or if you take a nap, usually they go away. No, it means pull out the double-barreled sawed-off shotgun and give it a both barrels. And if it doesn't go, then reload and fire until it's not there anymore. The devil will persist until he's sure that you're not going to give up. And once he's figured out that you are not going to give up, ultimately he will have to yield ground. He tricks us because he doesn't yield right away. And when we don't get the results that we expect or we would be led to expect or we think we should get, we give up in discouragement and we look for something else, maybe some antidepressant drugs or something to take care of the problem. But that's not what the way that it works in the kingdom of God. You keep fighting and pressuring and pushing and attacking, and ultimately you will win. The Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, to those that overcome, I will give these blessings. To those that overcome, that word, as we were talking about earlier in the men's meeting upstairs, is the word Nike, where we get the tennis shoes. Nike. It means victory, overcome, win, conquer, all those things together. To him that conquers, to him that what do we think of when we think of like the Nike thing? We think of people that against odds laid it on the line, gave their all, held nothing back, did it all the way to the end, and finally got a great prize or victory, right? But not up front, not in the first race, not the first time they went out on the track or the field or behind the home plate or whatever, right? They had to work at it and persist and be dogged. How many times have you started something new and you've wanted to give up after about three tries because you're like, oh, obviously I'm not suited for this. This is way beyond me. This looks so easy when I was watching other people do it, but it must be too hard for me. But if you persisted after you've done it 30 or 40 times, then you look back at the time when you'd only done it three times and you wanted to give up, and you go, what was it that I thought was so hard? What was the big deal? This is piece of cake, old hat. I could do this blindfolded. Turn in the Bible to Luke 9. Luke 9, verse 1. And Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Notice that it says, Jesus gave them power and authority over all demons. How many demons? All demons. Did he take it back? There's not any reason in the Bible to believe that he took it back. Well, you may say, well, I'm not sure that I have power and authority over all demons, because this was the 12. You know, there are statues of them, and they named churches after them and things like that. I don't really relate to the 12. Okay, well, let's turn over to Luke 10. Let's see if we can find somebody that you can relate to. Luke 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. Would somebody please name for me one of those 72 others? Any one of them will do. Just one name. We can't name any of their names, because, I mean, I'm sure the Catholics do. The Catholics, they got everything. I mean, they got every place. Has anyone ever been to Israel? Like anything that ever happened, you know, this is the place where somebody stumbled. You know, the Catholics have picked it out, named it, built a something on it, you know, whatever. I don't know whether it's true or not. But they don't leave anything to chance, okay? But so they probably at least say that they know who these, probably all these 72 people are. They got Saint somebody or other for that. But in the Bible, at least, there is nothing in the Bible that would tell us who these 72 people are. These are 72 nameless, faceless nobodies who just came out of the ranks of the crowd of the disciples, to come and participate in the ministry of Jesus, and their ministry was identical to that of the 12. There's no difference whatsoever in reading what they did and said and their behavior and anything like that that would lead you to believe that their ministry was any different than the ministry of the 12. They may not have had the same governing ministry, administrative or governing or authority, church authority type of ministry, but in terms of ministering to people, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, casting out demons, there's no reason to believe that there's any difference whatsoever between those 72 and the 12. And guess what? There's no reason to believe whatsoever that there's any difference between you and the 72. Now, notice that it doesn't say specifically that he gave them authority, but he did give them the same ministry and mission, right? I'll show you. Look at verse 8. This is their commissioning. He says, whenever you enter a town, Luke 10:8, and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So they must have had the same power and authority. He sent them out with the same ministry and mission, and then even though it doesn't say he gave them the same power and authority, they must have because they went out and did the same things. What I'm trying to do is to undo any case in your mind that the devil may have made that you are in any way different from these same folks that were commissioned to do the exact same things as Jesus. You have the same power and authority and commission and responsibility, honestly, to do the same things that these folks were sent out to do, which is the same thing that Jesus came to do. Now, I want to show you something. Remember where we looked at Jesus sent out the 12 in Luke 9? That word sent is apostolo. It's where we get the word apostle from. It means to be sent. Okay, I'm not a Greek scholar, so if I say it wrong, I looked it up in a concordance. Whatever it said, it is. Or I listened to some other preacher say it. Okay. So if you know Greek, I'm sorry for murdering Greek, but it looks to me like it's pronounced apostolo. Now in Luke 10, right here where it says, after this, in verse 1, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead. That word sent, apostolo. Same word, to be appointed and sent out. But I want to show you something. Look at Luke 10, verse 2. This is as he sends these. See, the ministry was too much for Jesus. There's too many people. There's too many people to minister to. There were people that night was coming, it was dark, and they weren't healed yet or delivered yet because there's just too many people for one person to do it. So guess what? He appoints 12 others. He just 12-ified his ministry, whatever the word, instead of doubled, tripled, quadrupled, whatever dozenified is. Okay, that's what he's done to his ministry. He's multiplied it by 12 times. But still, there's so much need. So then he goes and he appoints these 72 to increase the labor force, essentially. And still it's not enough, because look at what it says in Luke 10, 2. And Jesus said to these 72, the harvest is plentiful, meaning there's no end to sick people. There's no end to demonized people. There's no end to people that are not born again. No end in sight. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. In this case, in fact, there's only 72, 82, 83, 85 total, including Jesus. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You ever read those verses before? You know what that word send out is? That is not apostolo. That is ekbalo. It means, anyone ever heard that word? Come on, it's a deliverance camp. Ekbalo. Ekbalo means to violently thrust forth. It's the same word that when it says that he cast out demons. That's what it did. He violently thrust forth the demons out of people's bodies. Okay? Well, here he's saying, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would violently send out laborers into the field, force them out of the church building, out of the pews, out of sitting at home watching Christian TV or whatever, out of reading the latest Christian book or whatever. Send them out to minister. Roll up your sleeves. Get to work. God wants people to recognize that they are sons of God, to walk as sons of God, and to continue the ministry of the Son of God. Okay, let's look again at Luke 10, verse 17. The 72 returned with joy. Okay, he sent them out, right, and told them to heal. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus, oh, that's right. I totally forgot to tell you guys to cast out demons too. I'm glad you figured it out. I don't know if that's exactly what it means. But you don't see him specifically telling them to cast out demons. He said to them to preach and to heal. And they come back and they say, they're excited. The demons are coming out. And he says, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot to tell you. I'm glad you remembered that. Heal the sick. Preach the gospel and cast out the demons. You guys are a quick study. And in verse 18 he says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. I like King James. It says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. That word right there that it says, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, that's the word exousia. It's different than the word dunamis. Sometimes power is dunamis. That means like explosive power or force. This word exousia, it can mean force as well, but it really has more of a sense of jurisdiction or right or delegated influence, delegated authority. So it's like, behold, I give you jurisdiction and delegated influence to tread on serpents and scorpions. That's why I said you've got a gun, but you've also got a badge, right? If you knock on the door of the drug dealer with a gun, you may have some results, but you also may draw a lot of fire. You just look like another guy with a gun. Lots of guys with guns coming to the door of the drug dealers. If you come to the door of the drug dealer with a gun and a badge, they're more likely to run out the back door than to shoot at you. Maybe not. Weren't you a former police officer? Is the badge important? The badge is important. The badge is important to know your authority. Jesus said, I give you, Tom, I give you jurisdiction to tread upon serpents and scorpions. But it's not just Tom who's standing up here behind this pulpit. Right, it's every single person sitting in these chairs right now or watching over the internet. If you're a born-again believer, Jesus Christ has given you jurisdiction and delegated influence over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. In other words, anything that is demonic, you have authority over it. The problem is, do you see yourself this way? Is this a part of your consciousness? Is this just sort of head knowledge, but it's not really heart knowledge? It's not really something that you are totally quite sure of. Yes, I know I have authority over demons, but somewhere there's a but in there. Jesus gives you his power and authority so that you can continue his ministry and mission to undo the works of the devil. You have to have authority if you're going to continue his mission. And you do have it. Turn to John 20. John 20, look at verse 21. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Yes, this was the 12, I understand, or the 11 at this point. Yes, it's the 11. It wasn't you personally. But you continue in the same ministry, right? Otherwise, the church, that ministry would have had to end when the last one of them died. When John the Revelator died, that would have meant that all of this would have ended right there. The sending of Jesus would have ended. But that's not what it says, because it says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, right? And the last verse of Matthew. After the Great Commission. This is just John's version of the Great Commission. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. All of the different ways that's said. In Matthew, it's, go therefore into all the world, make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, what did he command them to do? Go out, proclaim the kingdom of God, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Go out, do that some more, teach other people to do that, continue the ministry. Mark 16, same thing. Go, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall heal the sick. I'll get confused now. I stopped. If you say it real fast, you'll remember it all. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall raise the dead, cast out demons, speak with new tongues, all that stuff. Well, this is just John's version of the same thing. It's just he's writing, you know, like 30 years after the other guys wrote. And so he just says it, he just sort of summarizes it. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. He just makes it real short and sweet. All that stuff that Matthew said, all that stuff that Mark said, that's just restating what this says in a short and sweet way. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Whatever I came and did, you go and do. A couple more places. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Now this is a rich, deep, and meaningful passage here that I've just read, but it's full of little clauses that sometimes make it hard to follow the main thread of what he's saying. So I'm going to eliminate the various supporting clauses here, and I'm just going to read this pretty much as one sentence. So I want you to close your eyes and just listen. This is totally valid to do. All I'm doing is just eliminating supporting clauses so that we can get the main theme that is meant by this long passage. Okay, close your eyes. "You were dead in sins, but God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Okay, you can open your eyes now. Do you get that? It's a little shorter than reading it that way. The bottom line is, you were dead, you're born again now, you've been made alive, and the important part for this purpose is you've been raised up to sit with Christ in heavenly places. That's the point. Positionally, you are in Christ at the right hand of God in heavenly places, spiritually speaking. This is a teaching about authority, to give you knowledge and to build your faith so that you won't be intimidated by the devil when there's a temptation, or when there's a spiritual warfare that goes on, or when you're in a position to minister to other people. You are above the devil positionally. Did you know that? Positionally, you're above the devil. You don't fight the devil like this. You fight the devil like this. He's under your feet. It says that you are seated with Christ. Is Christ seated above the devil? Okay. Are you seated in Christ? I'm not quite sure about that. Let's read it again. "And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So let's do this little test again. Are you seated with Christ? Okay. Where is the devil? Under you. You're seated above the devil. Okay, look at Ephesians 1 here in verse 15. "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him." Paul is about to tell us some important truths, and he's saying that these things, you can read them, but really I want God to give you a special spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding, because it's easy to read over these things, to maybe pay them lip service, but not really to live them out, not really live our lives as if this is gospel truth, so to speak, because it really is gospel truth. Now look at verse 18. Having the eyes of your understanding enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance of the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ. And here we go, the supporting point, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That sounds very familiar to what we would, if we were reading this in order, we would read in verse 2. In other words, God has seated Christ at his right hand above everything. There is no name higher to name than the name of Jesus Christ. We read that also in Philippians 2. Are you in Christ? Well, then if you are in Christ, that means that you are seated at the right hand of God, far above all power, principality, rule, dominion, authority, any other name that is named. Is that clear? Or this is what I wrote in my notes. If you're in him and he's above all things, where are you? Above all things. If you're in him and he's not just above, but far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, including all demons and Satan himself, then where are you? Just exactly. That's great. Is that what's in the Word? This is called renewing the mind, learning the truth, and then walking in that truth. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you to say the truth with me as an affirmation of faith. We've looked at these things in the Scriptures, okay? We've built a case in the Scriptures. Now we want to repackage, restate, reconstitute these things into an affirmation of faith as a way of building our faith and strengthening our faith before we do deliverance. Is that okay? Okay. So I want you to say this after me. I am in Christ by faith. Through an act of God, as a gift from God, and am seated in heavenly places with Christ. I am seated far above all rule and authority, and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, including all demons, and Satan himself. Because Christ has given it to me, I have power and authority and jurisdiction and force to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I have power and authority, jurisdiction and force over all demons. I can bind principalities at my pleasure, according to the will of God. I have a two-edged sword in my hand. I have the honor of executing vengeance and punishments on demons on behalf of Christ my King. I have a badge and a gun. I am a son of God. Okay, well, this is the truth. We've just affirmed what the truth is. So I hope that the result of this is that you'll walk a little taller in the spirit, so to speak. And the next time the devil comes around with your familiar thing, which you've got something in your life that's your thing, that's a specific kind of cheese that the devil puts in your trap. It's not very tempting to someone else. If you tell someone else about it, they may not understand why it would be such a big deal to you. But to you, it's your specific kind of cheese that you always tend to go for and the bait. Well, walk a little taller in the spirit and don't pull out your fly swatter and don't pull out your feather duster, but pull out that double-barreled sawed-off shotgun and give him a couple of pumps of that, okay? And then if he doesn't go away, then reload and do it again until he does, because he will. Okay, we're going to look at one quick scripture and then we're going to pray. If the devil has no authority over you. He is afraid of you. He desperately wants you not to recognize the authority that you have over him, because that numbers his days. He already knows his days are numbered, but this really numbers his days. Anybody see that children's movie, A Bug's Life? No one wants to raise their hand. Come on. You can say you took your kids or grandkids. All right. You don't have to admit that you sat at home like me and my wife that don't have kids watching A Bug's Life cartoon. That's a great movie. One of the things that happens is there are these grasshoppers. They're mean, nasty, thug grasshoppers. They're big. Big grasshoppers are bigger than ants. And they're intimidating the ants, and they're making all these ants be their labor force and collect food for them, giant pile of food. And the grasshoppers are talking off on their own, and they're saying, hey, how come, one of the ants was a little uppity towards the grasshoppers at their last visit? And you say, why, what's the big deal? Why can we not just let this go? Why do we have to go and crush this resistance? And the head grasshopper says, because if they ever figure out that there's like a million of them and only about 10 of us, we're going to lose our deal. And that's the way it is. It's not that there's so many more Christians than there are demons. It's that our authority that we have in the Spirit is so much greater than that of demons that they desperately want to keep you beaten down and keep you thinking that they have power and authority over in you. That I am the devil. I'm big. I will never go away. I will always have you under my foot. You will always continue to do the same sin that you trip up in, and I will torment you, and I'll make your life miserable, and all this kind of stuff. When the truth of the matter is, the appropriate response is, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus Christ has given me authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and that definitely includes you. So go. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. Get behind me. In Jesus' name. All right. One more time. One more place we're going to look before we do deliverance. The only thing that he has is lies and intimidation. He wants to lie to you about his power, and to lie to you, to trip you up, and to make a case with things like you really can get away with that sin, when in fact you really can't. And he wants to intimidate you, just like I said, in that Bug's Life way, to make you think that he's bigger and more powerful than you are. But if you won't turn tail and run, if you won't quit, if you'll stand your ground, if you'll keep going, if you'll persist, if you will never, 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 never give up, then you'll ultimately prevail. Turn to Psalm 37. Verse 35, I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree, but he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. This wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree symbolizes demonic infestation in your life, symbolizes an area in your life that you have never really seemed to have got control of, that troubles you, torments you, freaks you out, where the devil always seems to have the upper hand. But look at what the promise of Scripture is, that he passed away, and he was no more, and you sought him, and he could not be found. There are areas in my life that I have been delivered from that I find myself remembering by accident. Oh yeah, I forgot. I used to struggle with that problem and be totally tormented by that. I totally forgot that I even used to have that problem. That's genuine, that's real deliverance. If you've got an area in your life that you've never seemed to be able to master, never seemed to be able to get a hold of, that is a real torment in your life, where the devil really seems to be able to push your button, have the upper hand, have your computer print out and everything, and always seem to be three steps ahead of you with a temptation. If you will persist and resist and not give up and understand that you have authority over him and fight, tooth and nail to the very end, the truth of the matter is that the day will come where you will be so delivered that you will forget that you even had that problem. And you'll find yourself in a conversation with somebody witnessing to them or something like that, and you'll go, oh yeah, I used to have that problem. That's right, I forgot. Yeah, Jesus Christ set me free from that. I haven't struggled with that in years. I hadn't even thought about it in years. That's deliverance, and that's the promise of the kingdom for you. Now, this really is the last verse we're going to look at, 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We looked at this, but I want to look at the last one. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and this is the key point, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. This taking every thought captive is a critical aspect in your deliverance. It means every whisper of the devil, every whisper of temptation, every whisper of a lie, every whisper of some doubt, every whisper of some feared thing that could happen, some scenario that you really hope doesn't happen. Every idea that comes to your mind that is not in line with the kingdom of God. If it is an idea that is not in line with righteousness, peace, and joy, then it is from the devil and it is to be taken captive. Every whisper, idea, or thought. Because if it is not taken captive, then that means that it's left free to roam around in your mind. It seems like a thought. It seems like an idea. It seems like your own mind. But really, it's the voice of the devil. And you're listening to the voice of a devil. And after you listen to the voice of the devil a while, then it's no longer a voice. Then it becomes a fantasy. Not just a thought, but a whole scenario, a whole little movie played out in your mind, a whole little short story that you're writing, that the devil's writing for you, that you're reading in your mind of, oh yes, then this could happen, and this could happen, oh, and then what if I did this, or yes, it's just like the last time that happened, and it becomes a whole scenario in your mind, a fantasy, a whisper or an idea or a thought ultimately becomes a fantasy, and when you begin to fantasize about it, whether it's a sexual fantasy or a fantasy of fear or a fantasy of judgmentalism or in some relationship or something like that, then it will settle down into your emotions. And now not only is it just a thought in your mind, now you're actually feeling depressed or heavy or fearful or anxious or burdened or jealous. You might even become angry. And nothing's really even happened yet. Just a thought has come in your mind. I had that happen to me just in worship earlier this morning when we were standing there. A thought came in my mind, something back at our church where I was. A thought came in my mind, and I began to think about it for a minute, and I found my hands kind of went down. You know, they were raised up in worship, and my hands kind of went down. And then I quit clapping, and then my head started to hang down a little bit as I thought about, you know, a troubling situation back at home. Well, what was that? That was nothing more than the voice of the devil that I listened to for a moment, and then it became a fantasy. Oh, yes, I'm going to have to deal with that, you know. And then it could have gotten down into my emotions had it not been captured, apprehended, thrown behind me, and okay, no. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a perfect thing to worry about in 2 or 3 days. The problem will still be there. Right now is the time to worship Jesus. Because if you let those emotions sit on you longer, ultimately now what you've got is demonization, indwelling spirits. Starts as a thought, then goes to a fantasy, drops down into the emotions, and if it's entertained past that, finally, it just becomes flat-out demonization. Now you got a demon, you got to get off of you, out of you, or whatever. If you'll stop it at the thought level, catch the little foxes, like it says in the Song of Solomon, and apprehend these thoughts, use your badge and your gun, and refuse to listen to them, and just tell them, move along, I'm not going to listen to you, no, go, whatever you like to say, I bind you, get behind me, Satan, whatever it is, but apprehend them and refuse to listen to them. Okay, who'd like to get some deliverance, right? You're going to get deliverance whether you want it or not. If you want them back, you can go get them later. Okay, we got a few minutes. We can go theoretically till dinner. Huh? We'll go almost till dinner and give you time for a potty break. How's that? By the way, this is a little booklet our ministry publishes. Chris Simpson wrote it, Exposing the Seductive Lies of the Devil. All these little booklets are available on that counter back there, all the little colored booklets. This is great on basically capturing the voice of the devil at the thought life level and casting it behind you. I'm going to pray deliverance in a minute. I'm drawing heavily from a book that Jerry McGee wrote. It's like a list of demons, basically. Okay, we plagiarized it, I guess. I don't know. We incorporated it into our own little booklet that we do the same kind of thing, preparation for personal deliverance, and it's basically just a list of demons and stuff like that. Let's pray. Jesus, we pray. I believe that the promise is that in my name, those that believe in me, in my name they shall cast out demons. So that is on me. And I take that responsibility in Jesus' name. That means that the authority to cast out demons rests with me. But how much more? These are people that you love and care for, and you want to see them set free. So I partner right now with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to exercise the authority given to me as a son of God, as a master of the devil, and as a servant of man, to command demons to come out. I would like, there's something that's been on my mind a lot lately. I would like to, if there is anyone in here that suffers from any type of remorse whatsoever, remorse, I command all remorse to come out. Remorse is where you just really, really, really wish that you hadn't done something in the past and you can't seem to get back past it. Just your life would be better if you just hadn't done that, and your mind's continually drawn back to that and you can't seem to let that go. Folks, in Jesus' name, it is a new day. The Bible says, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward to those things that are before, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The promise in Joel is that He will redeem the years that the canker worm has devoured and all that kind of stuff. You know the scriptures there in Joel. That you can't look at the past. You give that to Jesus. Jesus can make it up to you. In the name of Jesus, be free. I rebuke the power of remorse. I command all regret and remorse. I command you to go from God's people in Jesus' name. Anyone that continually goes back to things in the past, a behavior pattern in the past, a sin in the past, a choice in the past, a divorce in the past, a bad choice, a bad financial decision, a lie that was told, whatever it might be, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. I command you to release God's people. I command that to go. All despondency from that. I command the despondency of that to go in the name of Jesus. All depression from that. I rebuke you. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. All listlessness, feeling like the life has been destroyed, the life has been wasted, there's nothing left to do but just wait around for God to take me home. That is not true. In the name of Jesus, stand up, Son of God. Stand up. Take up your shield. Take up your sword. Take up your mantle. Take up your ministry. Walk in faith in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the power of regret. I rebuke the power of despondency. I rebuke the power of heaviness. I rebuke the power of guilt in the name of Jesus. I rebuke it. I command you I command God's people to stand up in the Spirit. I stir up the Spirit. Stir up, stir up, stir up in the name of Jesus. Stir up. Wake up. The Scripture says, wake up. Awake to righteousness and sin not in the name of Jesus. Whatever, play the game that is left in Jesus' name. Live the days that are left in Jesus' name. Walk the part of the path that is still left to you, regardless of what you've done in the past. In the name of Jesus, all of that unbelief, I rebuke the power of unbelief. I command the unbelief that God could do good with your life to go in the name of Jesus. I command unbelief that God could redeem your bad choices to go. I command unbelief that God could turn even the bad things that you did in the past around for the good, for His glory. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. I resist you in the Spirit. I rebuke you. I command you to release God's people. Now, right now, some of you may be having a voice in your mind that says, this guy's not talking to me. This is not something I struggle with. And right there, there's an unbelief. Listen, I'm talking to somebody. There's somebody in this room that everything that I say is specifically for. So if it's not for you, you just keep going, yes, Jesus, and sooner or later it's going to come your time. Okay? All right? Not every word will minister to every person in the room, and the devil will try to minister unbelief to you. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray for your guidance in ministry. I could just read through this list, but I really want to be Spirit-led here right now. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. I command all gloom to go. Gloom, go. Gloom, I command you to go. In the name of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Everything that is resisting joy, I command you to go. In the name of Jesus, fantasies, fantasy fear, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Fantasy anxiety, in the name of Jesus, allowing your mind to go down the road and wonder and worry and think about all the what-ifs and the could-bes. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. I break the power of fantasy fear. I break the power of fantasy anxiety. I command you to go where you've lodged down in the God's people. I command you to come up and come out in the name of Jesus. Every fear, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, I will never leave you or forsake you. In the name of Jesus, everything that robs God's people of joy, I command you to go. Fear about finances, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. One of His covenant names is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. Fear of finances in the name of Jesus. Fear of financial trouble, fear of financial vulnerability, I command you to go. Fear of financial future, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Loose God's people in the name of Jesus. Loose them. Fear about health in the name of Jesus. Fear about health. Fear about that lump. Fear about the bad test results. Fear about the fact that dad died of this. All those kinds of fears in the name of Jesus. Every anxiety, every health anxiety, I command you to go. I command you to loose God's people in Jesus' name. Every fear about health for now and health for the future in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. I break your power. Fear about not having health insurance in the name of Jesus. He's a great physician. If you don't have health insurance, He'll take care of you anyway. In the name of Jesus, we command all those fears to go. Fear of not having health insurance, fear of being vulnerable, fear of not being taken care of, fear of being exposed. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I break your power. I command you to be smashed off of God's people in Jesus' name. Release them. Everything that's robbing God's people of joy, go in the name of Jesus. Fear of nothing happening in the name of Jesus, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. We just pray for your guidance here in this time, for the specific words that will minister to God's people. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, fear of being overcome, I rebuke you. Fear of not making it, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Fear of being overwhelmed, fear of being smothered, fear of being lost in the abyss, I rebuke you. I break your power in Jesus' name. The Lord is mighty to save you. He is bigger than your sin. He is bigger than the demons that say that they have you bound. He is bigger than every circumstance or situation in your life. He has promised to do you good and bless you, and then He has sworn with an oath to keep His promise. Is that not big enough for you? Yes, it is. Say it is. It is, in the name of Jesus. Every demon that blasphemes the name of Christ by calling that promise and that faith into question and attacking the faith of God's people and bringing them fear, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. I rebuke you. Every fear, I command all fear to leave. Every fear, in the name of Jesus. Every kind of fear, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every anxiety, every apprehension, in the name of Jesus. Every confusion, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Every chronic fear, I command you to go. Every fear of being exposed, I command you to go. Every cowardice in the name of Jesus. Every fear of being left alone, go from God's people in the name of Jesus. Every kind of panic attack, I break the power of panic attacks in the name of Jesus. Anxiety attacks in Jesus' name. Nervous breakdown, mental breakdown, just falling over into a little pile and panicking and freaking out or checking out into amusements of various kinds to escape from fear, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. I break your power. I smash your power over God's people in the name of Jesus. I command all embarrassment and fear of embarrassment to go in the name of Jesus. Fear of being exposed, fear of being found out in the name of Jesus. Fear of being vulnerable, I rebuke you. I break your power in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, every fear of abandonment in the name of Jesus. Fear of accusation, I break your power. Loose God's people. Fear of authority, withdrawing, not wanting to come to the light in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. I break your power. Every fear of authority, every timidity, every cowardice, every shrinking back, every withdrawal, every not wanting to be honest, every not wanting to expose yourself, every not wanting to be vulnerable, every not wanting people to reject you, I rebuke you. I break your power. All fear, loose God's people. Come up and out, come up and out, come up and out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Fear of being attacked, fear of being raped, fear of being robbed, fear of being molested, I rebuke you. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Fear of being wrong, that's just pride, I rebuke that pride. I command pride to go in Jesus' name. Fear of confrontation in the name of Jesus. Loose God's people in the name of Jesus. Fear of relationships. Go in the name of the Lord. Fear of intimacy. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Loose God's people. Fear of disapproval. I break your power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of fear of disapproval. Fear of the dark. Go in Jesus' name. Fear of dying. Go in Jesus' name. Fear of demons, I rebuke you. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Fear of failure, fear of falling in the name of Jesus. I command you to loose God's people, every fear. Fear of being judged, I command you to go. I break your power in Jesus' name. Fear of being put on the spot in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I break your power over God's people. Every fear, every single kind of fear in the name of Jesus. Fear of going to hell. Fear of being punished. Fear of your sin finding you out. In Jesus' name, I command you to go right now. Loose God's people. Loose them. Loose them. Loose the saints in Jesus' name. Every fear. Every kind of fear. Up and out. Up and out. Up and out. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of guilt. Every guilt, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I break your power. It says that Christ offered one time, one sacrifice for sin. In the name of Jesus, that means that your sins are forgiven. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not after some period of waiting, not after some extra payment that you make. In Jesus' name, if you confess them, they're forgiven. If you've confessed your sins to Jesus Christ, they are forgiven. They are under the blood of Jesus. At the last verses of Micah say that He has cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. God Himself does not remember your sin. The only people that remember it are you and the demons that keep bringing it to your remembrance. So why don't you kick the demon? Better yet, I'll kick the demon and you choose to forget. In the name of Jesus, I kick this demon. I kick this demon of guilt. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Guilt over past bad decisions. Guilt over past bad relationship decisions. Guilt over past bad financial decisions. In Jesus' name. Guilt over past moral failures. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I break your power. Every guilt, I command you to go up and out. Loose God's people. In the name of Jesus. Guilt over not having been a good parent. I rebuke you and break your power. Guilt over not having been a good son or daughter to your parents. I rebuke you. I break your power. In Jesus' name, loose them, loose them, loose them. Every kind of guilt in the name of Jesus. Guilt over having stolen something in the past. Loose God's people in the name of Jesus. Shame, shame of having done shameful things in the pubescent years or as a child or in the teenage years. I rebuke you. I break your power in Jesus' name. Loose God's people, loose them, loose them. Every kind of shame, every kind of embarrassment, every kind of condemnation in the name of Jesus. Every kind of guilt, I command you to go. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every accusation of the devil, I break your power in the name of Jesus and command you to go. I command you to go. I command all accusation to go. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Loose them and go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I come against all sexual fantasies. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I break the power of sexual fantasies off of the mind in Jesus' name. I command your power to be broken off of every mind or everyone listening over the internet in Jesus' name. I rebuke the power of sexual fantasy in the name of Jesus. I command pornography to go. In the name of Jesus, pornography, I rebuke you. I break your power. I break the power of all pornography in Jesus' name. Internet pornography, movies in Jesus' name, those books that ladies read that you buy in Jesus' name. I break the power of that in Jesus' name. The the fantasies, the ungodly soap operas in Jesus' name. I break the power of that, the fantasy of that, the pornographic fantasy of that in Jesus' name. Loose God, the adulterous fantasies of that. Loose God's people. Loose them in Jesus' name. Loose them in the name of Jesus. What'd you say? over the cell phone in Jesus' name, that sexting and texting and flirting in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. I break your power. All kinds of internet stuff in Jesus' name. Every kind of internet sexual impropriety and impurity, I rebuke you. I break your power. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Adultery, I break the power of adultery. I command adultery to be broken. Adulterous fantasies in the name of Jesus. Adulterous movies, adulterous books, adulterous articles in Jesus' name. Adulterous magazines, I rebuke you and break your power in Jesus' name. Pedophilia, in the name of Jesus. All pedophilia, all inappropriate feelings, all inappropriate thoughts, inappropriate fantasies, inappropriate touching, inappropriate behavior, I command you to go, I command you to go, I command you to go in Jesus' name. It's come against jealousy. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of all jealousy. Jealousy over the looks of another person, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Jealousy over the position of another person, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Jealousy over recognition that someone else gets, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Jealousy over the possessions and admiration that another person gets, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Jealousy over another person's husband or wife, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Jealousy over another person, the way that their family treats them and their children treat them, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Go. Go in the name of the Lord Jesus. Go. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. All jealousies, all covetousness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Wishing you had someone else's life, wishing you had someone else's anything, I rebuke you. I break your power in the name of Jesus. We strike you down in the name of Jesus. We throw you to the four winds in the name of Jesus. We command you to leave God's people. All jealousies in Jesus' name. All judgmentalism in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Critical thoughts in Jesus' name. Thoughts of accusation against other people, putting them down in your mind, belittling them in Jesus' name. Critical thoughts in the name of Jesus. They can't do anything right. I rebuke you. I break your power in Jesus' name. If they sniff, it irritates you. I rebuke you. I break your power. I command you to release them in Jesus' name. The hypersensitivity to their sin, hypersensitivity to their idiosyncrasies in Jesus' name. Lovelessness towards them, inability to show Christian love, inability to be patient, inability to forgive. I rebuke you. I break your power. I command the demons to go. I command the demons to come up and out. I break the unhealthy soul tie with those individuals in Jesus' name, and I command all the demons to come up and out in Jesus' name. All judgmental and critical spirits, in the name of Jesus, we break your power and loose you from your assignment over God's people. Come, Holy Spirit. Command all escapism to go in Jesus' name. Go daydreaming. Go fantasy daydreaming. Go in the name of Jesus. All escaping through sleep. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Excessive slumber, excessive sleeping, excessive napping. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. All laziness and passivity and spacing out, I command you to go. Spiritual sluggishness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. All unreality, go, go, go. Escaping into the television, go, go, go. Always look, always got to have the radio on, go, go, go in the name of Jesus. Always got to have noise, always got to have the TV going. Always got to have something going in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, inability to get still, I rebuke you. I break your power, I command you to go. Up and out in the name of Jesus. That need for noise, I rebuke you. I break your power. I create a place for stillness and for the Spirit of God in each life here in this place. Insecurity, I rebuke you. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I break the power of insecurity in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. Every kind of insecurity in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Inability to get still. Inability to receive love. Inability to just be at peace. Inability to know God's love. Inability to be in a room full of people without having to have the attention on you. I break your power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rejection, I break the power of rejection. In the name of Jesus, pure rejection, same-sex rejection, pure rejection, opposite-sex rejection, rejection from father or mother, sibling rejection, I command you to go in Jesus' name. I go, 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 every rejection in the name of Jesus. I break the power of rejection, the rejection of divorce, the rejection of having been spurned, of having been been having a relationship ripped apart, having been rejected, literally rejected, thrown back by another person. In the name of Jesus, we forgive those people. In the name of Jesus, we break every unhealthy soul tie with that person. In the name of Jesus, we proclaim that the love of God is greater even than the rejection of another person. And we command that rejection to go. In the name of Jesus, we command those soul ties to be destroyed and all rejection to be gone. In the name of Jesus, we command the rejection to go and the love of God to come and fill those wounded places in the name of Jesus. Why don't you sit down, please? Let's ask the Spirit of the Lord to just come and rest on us. We've prayed a lot of aggressive prayers. Now let's just ask for God's peace here. Come, Holy Spirit of peace. Come, Holy Spirit. Peace, Lord. We've rebuked the waves like Jesus. Now we say, we've rebuked the wind, right, the spirits. Now we say to the waves, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Peace, peace. It's hard to be still, but let's just press through. Just do nothing for a moment. Take a deep breath. Now smile. Jesus loves you. It's going to be all right. Amen? Amen. Well, can I dismiss? Should I pray for the food? Father, we thank you for this food. We thank you for what you've done so far in the camp. We pray for our meeting tonight. We pray for more deliverance, and revelation, and fellowship, and ministry as the week goes on. We ask you for your blessing on this food and also on the cooks and those who serve in the kitchen and mess hall. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.